Good morning, church. Rodney Foreman, thank you for that wonderful story. And dear brother, thank you for the, such a beautiful, beautiful music, Ryan Hall. You know, last time I spoke here to our church family, Bob Ellis had a real pleasant surprise. He came to church and he looked in the bulletin and lo and behold, his name was there to give the sermon. And he didn't know what to do. And so he got a little excited. And when I came walking in and I told him I had the sermon, he was at peace. You know, this morning I want to share with you a testimony. This morning at 7 o'clock, I had a call from our dear pastor, Art Bushnell. And he says, Bob, you know, there wasn't anything in the bulletin about the sermon that you were supposed to give today. And I said, oh, yeah? Talk about a surprise. And you know, the thing is, I couldn't believe how calm I was. There was no panic. There was no excitement or me getting all excited and disappointed or to the point I was getting, you know, wondering what's going on in my life at that time. And I got up, and this was 7 o'clock in the morning. Usually about 5:45, the alarm goes up on Sabbath morning, and I listened to a sermonette. And they have also some singing every Sabbath morning. That's my lifestyle. And you know, that sermon and that music, I guess, evidently put me in the right spirit, evidently. But anyway, I went and got ready and shaved and, you know. And when I got back into the kitchen, my wife said, you hungry? You going to eat something? I said, no, no, that's okay. And she asked me, she actually said, I'm sorry. I said, no, it's not your fault. I supposed to have a list also of the different individuals to be speaking for the first quarter. But because she's a bulletin secretary, she knew that last week. And she usually reminds me, right? Oh, you're going to be giving a sermon next week, but nothing was said. But anyway, what I'm trying to say to you folks this morning is that if you let God into your life and you let Him be in control of your life, you have nothing to fear.
Right.
Nothing. So before we begin, I'm still going to ask God to send His Spirit to be with us this morning. Okay. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for being such a wonderful and a gracious, a loving, caring God. For you have promised where two or three are gathered in your name that you are here. And Heavenly Father, I ask that your Spirit be the one to speak through me, and that the words I speak, Heavenly Father, may be your truth, and that we may, as your children, grow into the knowledge of knowing that Jesus wants us to be loved. Teach us today, Heavenly Father. Guide me, direct me now for these favors and blessings. I ask it all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. The message I have for you this morning is about 2 years old. I started writing this message back in 2006. But I wasn't really sure as to whether or not I should share it with the children, the family of God here at Wahiwa Seventh-day Adventist Church. But something happened yesterday that convinced me that what I have been studying for so many months and years is what I truly believe that God wants me to share with you this morning. That's why I'm going to share this with you. I wrote this on June the 21st, 2006, and I entitled it, Walking in the Spirit. It says, Dear Pastor Dixon, You stated that a child who comes into this world is evil. Does this mean we are all the devil? Are we children of God or Satan the devil? Does everyone who is conceived or born of a man and a woman entering into this world have sin or sinned? Is the word conceived the same as born or birth in the translation of God's word? Is this sin the result of what the child did or what his parents did? Does a child entering into this world come with a death sentence, condemned to eternal death and damnation? Are we still under the penalty of eternal death? Did Jesus die on the cross for the sins of the world? Is it biblical that Jesus did not forgive the sins of the world? That his sacrifice was not sufficient or accepted by God the Father to meet the requirement of a perfect sacrifice? I believe if a child is evil, he will not enter into God's kingdom. I believe a child comes into this world born of flesh with a carnal nature or a nature with a tendency to sin. But I am led to believe that a child comes into this world with also a different nature, which Cain and Abel possessed from their parents. Because if a child coming to this world is the same as Cain and Abel, that they are still under the old law and its penalty for sin. If that is the case, then the sacrifice of Jesus was not sufficient. And it would be a lie and a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Pastor, I am still studying God's word. I am awakened almost every morning by the Spirit and pressed to look at what was accomplished at the cross. I don't know why I am led to look at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in a different light. I ask God to reveal His truth and have the outpouring of His Spirit to understand how the Spirit enters into a human being. June 30th. My dear brother Clint, classmate of mine at HMA back in the 60s, I believe the Spirit of God has been leading me during the last 2 to 3 months into a deeper study and understanding of God's Word on the subject of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has led me to ask many, many questions. Where does the Holy Spirit come from? When does He come into a person? What must I do before the Holy Spirit will come into me? Does the Holy Spirit dwell in me when I keep the commandments of God? Does the Holy Spirit leave me when I sin? How did the disciples receive the Holy Spirit? How did the 3,000 receive the Holy Spirit who cried a few days before, "Crucify Him"? Does the Holy Spirit come to dwell in those who confess their sins? Does the Holy Spirit come into those who ask Him? I believe that the study of Nicodemus refers to our people who claim to have the knowledge of God's Word, the leaders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Because we sometimes cannot understand the things that we understand in this world, we seem to think we understand, we reject it. And if we can't even understand the things of the world, how can we even understand the things of heaven? I believe the Seventh-day Adventist Church has a lot of doctrine and beliefs, which are biblical, but also I believe that many times we teach false doctrines or lies. Lies of which Satan's great deception will even cause the most elect to be lost. This study has brought me to a deeper knowledge and understanding of what God the Father, His Son Jesus, and His Spirit wants to do for everyone coming into this world. So my message to you this morning, I've entitled it, Born to be Loved. Yes, Thursday, my wife sent me an email. I don't know how many of you have seen this. But you've heard many, many, many times about different children that's 3, 4, 5 years old. How God has used them to be able to paint beautiful pictures, to be able to sing, to play the piano, to play the violin. Well, this is a story of Yi Yuen. She is a 5-year-old girl who is blind. She was invited to go on national TV in Korea, where they're having a contest to find out who was most gifted in being able to sing and or talented. Her mother, Park Jun-soon, said she and her husband could not have children. And so they adopted Yi Yuen. Remember now, she's blind from birth. Yi Yuen started playing the piano when she was 3. Did not have any lessons. Would listen to a song once and be able to play the song. When you know and believe you are born to be loved, that you receive God's love, whenever we meet each other, you will also believe that you can do all things through Christ. Jesus creates miracles in all of our lives. This is a song that her mother taught her, and she played on national TV, and she sang these words. You were born to be loved. And you are receiving that love through your life. You are born to be loved. And you are receiving that love through your life. The love from God that started since the beginning of your birth becomes connected with us meeting each other. You were born to be loved. And you are receiving that love through your life. As I had mentioned, I have been searching and looking for the answer to the question. Does the Spirit of God dwell in every human being coming into this world? Thursday, I was convinced that every human being coming into this world is born of God. And you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Just because you cannot understand doesn't mean that you don't have the Spirit of God inside of you. And so seeing and hearing stories like Yi Yuen, I believe that each one of us who has come into this world has been born of God. We, each one of us, has the Spirit of God within us. And this is what makes us different from the animals. Because we have the ability to think, make choices about who, what, when, why, how we should live our lives. You know, folks, whatever decision we make, we decide our own final destination. Whether the things of this world or the things of heaven. Please understand the truth. God loves you and I even when we choose not to love Him. Let's begin our study. Because on June 29, 2006, we went all the way through to July 1st, 2006. It says here, I had a difficult time falling asleep last night. It has been a difficult week and extra tired, but was awakened at 2 a.m. in the morning with the thought of looking at two very important events. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis, please, chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And we're talking here about creation. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. In Genesis 3, 19 and 23, it says, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." In our text scripture today, in Job 33, verse 4, it says, "The Spirit of God has made me," Job is speaking, "and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." And in Genesis chapter 7, verse 22, it states, "All in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, all that was on dry land died." We're talking about the great flood. All of these people, in whose nostrils was the breath of life, they all died. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, "And so it is, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." So who do we get the Spirit from? From Jesus. In John chapter 20, let's go there. John chapter 20. If you dare say amen.
Amen.
All right. And beginning with verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, but the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" What did he do? He breathed on them. And from that, they received the Holy Spirit. What about the 3,000 people that were converted? Remember, Peter was telling them the problem with them, what they had done to Jesus? And they cried out, "What shall we do then?" And what did Peter say? That you must what? Repent and be baptized. And these people received the Holy Spirit. The two events show that Jesus is the life-giving Spirit. Jesus breathed into Adam and Eve the breath of life. Jesus breathed into his disciples the breath of life. And from God's word, we find that Jesus is the one who can breathe into all man the breath of life. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your son and your daughter shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams. Your young man shall see visions. And also my manservants and my maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." You see, the point that must be emphasized and understood is Jesus is the one who will pour out the Spirit on all flesh. So when we teach, the Holy Spirit comes into a person when he confesses his sins and accepts God's word. Scripture teaches Jesus, the Son of the living God, asks his Father to send his Spirit to be the comforter, to dwell within all flesh, to teach all truth, to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Folks, the Holy Spirit is the ambassador, the representative of Jesus Christ, to continue the good work which Jesus already started. Already started when you and I came into this realm. So how is it that one individual can accept Jesus from the time they're pretty much 3-4 years old, and others have to wait until they're maybe 60-70 years old before they accept Jesus? What's the difference? Well, say for example, we're starting right now. This is the perfect line of perfection. And some children are very fortunate because they're born of parents who are Christians already. They know the truth. And they grow up learning about Jesus. They're baptized when they're 9, 12 years old. They go to one of our Christian schools, colleges. They graduate. And then they get married and they train up their children the same way. For generations, they already live with the truth. But there are families also that come into this world of parents that may be a Buddhist or Muslim. They have no idea of the truth as spoken of in God's word. But you know, 20 years, 3-4 generations later, they get to understand the truth. And a lot of these individuals are converted and become Christians. Jesus does not look upon them any different. They're all the same in his sight. And yet we, as Christians, we many times give the impression to others that you are an outsider. You are an unbeliever. You are not of the faith. Unless we come to understand that we are born to be loved. Everyone in this world. And that when we come together, that's when we show this love to each other. And unless we do this, this church will never grow. I'm not looking at numbers. I'm looking at people willing to be the disciples that Jesus wants us to be. And he says that we need to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. There is no distinction, folks. Every human being should be given the same opportunity to know about Jesus. I'm not saying that you have to go to strangers. You can just go to your own family members. I want to share with you a story. About a month ago, I was visiting with my daughter. And my son-in-law came out and he said, "You know, Kyle asked me a question. He asked me, 'Dad, why don't you go to church?' And my son-in-law said to me that he told Kyle, 'Someday I will go to church.'" You know, children, we are told in God's word that unless we become like children, we will never enter into the kingdom of God. Kyle never came back and said, "Why? How come? Whatever." He just took it. He trusted his dad, and what his dad said is that, "I will someday," and left it and went on his way. How many of us as Christians, we have brothers and sisters and friends, have we taken the time to ask a simple question? Why? Or when are you going to go to church? And just leave it at that. Because when that happens, you plant a seed. Your job and my job is not to convert them. It's a spirit's job. But my job is to at least introduce them to something they may not have any concept or idea about. Because why? Because you have that knowledge. And as disciples, we are told that we need to go and teach. Right? How do we teach? That I'm right and you're wrong? That's how they don't even want to get involved with our church. You teach them by showing them Jesus. And Jesus only. Nothing else. Because if Dennis asks a question about how do we become disciples at work, at home, this is something that has to be continuous. It should be something natural. It should be something that you live. And if you do this, we are told that we will draw all men to Jesus. And so, folks, members of the YWA Church, please believe that every human being coming to this world is born to be loved. And if we love them, I guarantee you, they want to become a part of our family. I guarantee you that. Love them, and they will come and become a part of our family. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for helping me to speak and for your words coming through me, Heavenly Father, and giving us a better understanding about your Holy Spirit. And may we not take for granted, Heavenly Father, but may we find that the Holy Spirit is so precious that without the Holy Spirit in our lives, developing the character of Jesus and His love, it is impossible for us to reach out to others. For these favors and blessings, I ask and thank you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. For a closing hymn, would you please turn with me to hymn number 593. 593. In times like these.